ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 21. तत्तद्वत्सान् पृथन् नीत्वा तत्तद्गोष्ठे निवेश्य सः तत्तदात्मा भवद्राजं तत्तत्सद्मप्रविष्टवान्. ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की. ओ महाराज परीक्षित, कृष्ण हु हैड डिवाइडेड हिमसेल्फ एज डिफरेंट काव्स एंड ऑल्सो एज डिफरेंट काउहर्ड बॉयज एंटर्ड डिफरेंट काउशेड्स एज द काव्स and then different homes as different boys. Purport. Krishna had many, many friends, of whom Sridhama, Sudama and Subal were prominent. Thus Krishna himself became Sridhama, Sudama and Subal and entered the respective houses with their respective cars. O Maharaj Parikshit, Krishna, who had divided himself as different calves and also as different cowherd boys, entered different cowsheds as the calves and then different homes as different boys. So this chapter is entitled Brahma Vimohan Leela, where Lord Sri Krishna has bewildered Lord Brahma. Brahma Vimohan. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives primarily four reasons why the Lord enacted this pastime with Lord Brahma. He gives four reasons. First reason being that the Lord wanted to be amused. He wanted some entertainment. Second reason being he wanted to humble Brahma. Third reason being, he wanted to proclaim himself to be the supreme controller, the source of all mystic yoga and the source of all magical powers. And he, fourth reason he gives is, he wanted to give pleasure to Brahma and he wanted to grace him, wanted to bless him with his divine darshan and also to give pleasure to the Brajvasis by expanding himself and reciprocating with the Brajvasis in a very intimate way. So the first reason being amusement. The Lord wanted amusement. So here it is explained here that he divided himself, and we can see that how when Brahma comes to this abode, this leela, this pastime can be seen in the modern terms as we are speaking about non-terrestrial beings. We are speaking about extraterrestrial people. In modern terms, if a person with a modern perspective would read this text, he would see this as an extraterrestrial abduction, where an extraterrestrial being is coming and abducting some human beings and hiding him in some remote place, because we are speaking about some extraterrestrial. Brahma is extraterrestrial, ET. It doesn't belong to this world. It's from another planet altogether. So he has abducted these coward boys, and he is coming back to see that the coward boys are still present there. So he's thoroughly shocked, he's bewildered, he's confused. So when Brahma, he's confused in that way, the Lord is pretty amused to see him in that way. And in fact, it is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that while Krishna was taking his meals, the Leela Shakti appeared in front of Krishna and said, "So you want some amusement? Should I call Brahma? What will entertain you?" Because Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and for his entertainment, he calls all these great gods. And just by watching, observing them, thoroughly confused and bewildered by his Leela Shakti. So that is the power of Krishna's potencies. That Brahma happened to come there and he performed this kind of an act, which kind of, he wanted to bewilder Krishna, but he himself was bewildered in that attempt. So, the second reason that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that the Lord wanted to, Supreme Personality of Godhead, wanted to humble Brahma. Naturally, Brahma, being the supreme most God in this world, the secondary creator of this Brahmanda, this universe, sitting in such a prominent and important position, controlling such important aspects of the universe, it is quite possible for any living entity to be overpowered by that position. Because naturally, as it is said, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So, it is the Lord wanted to ensure that such a responsible position must be used in the service of the Supreme. Every position in this world must be used in the service of the Supreme Lord. So Brahma, being the original disciple, the primeval disciple of Krishna, when the creation came about, when Brahma was born, Brahma went to Krishna for knowledge. And the first person that the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna gave knowledge to was Brahma. In the Bhagavatam also it is explained. Twaddattaya vayunayedamachashta vishvam supta prabuddhayvanat bhavat prapannaha tasyapavarge sharadam tava padamulam vismaryate krithavida kathamartha bandhu. That it was Lord Krishna who originally gave the knowledge of the Vedas to Brahma. So Brahma is the disciple of Krishna. Krishna is acting as a guru, just as Krishna acted as a guru of Arjun. Krishna is also the guru of, original guru of Brahma. And it is the duty of the guru that when he gives knowledge to the disciple, he must also ensure that the disciple is not afflicted with vanity, pride, and obsession with the position and power. So when the guru gives knowledge to the disciple, the guru ensures that the disciple is humble enough and worthy enough to honor that position. And he does not abuse that position for his selfish interests, and uses that position for service. And that is the essence of the Shastras. Lord Shiva says in the Bhagavatam, Pranehi swa pranina panti sadhava shana bhungurai baddha vaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshva atma mayaya. That it is the conduct of saintly people that they risk their own lives for the welfare of others. And it is extremely pleasing to the Supreme Lord to see if one of his children are responsibly acting in this world, irrespective of being abused by others or whatever the situation may be. But if the devotee of God being situated in this world in adverse circumstances, if he conducts himself properly, even though being a victim of many adverse circumstances, even in the face of many abuses, but if he conducts himself in a worthy way, then the Lord is pleased and to bless him, to grace him with his divine mercy. Just as in a family, we see that how sometimes there are children and some of the children are corrupt, they are getting into wrong practices. Some of the children are responsible and they take the responsibility of other children. And they take responsibility and they help others. So naturally, the children who are more responsible, they tend to get more affection from the parents. So in a similar way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being the Supreme Father, wants to see his children, his devotees, to use every position in the service of others. And that way, it is most pleasing to the Lord to see that. I was traveling in a train from Kargar, was coming to Bombay, and I was just opposite me, one family came there. A mother, father, and two children, one small young boy and elderly, one teenage girl. So this small child, he had some problem with his hands. You know, he had some bite marks. I think some mosquitoes had bitten him. His whole hands were like reddened. Very, and his feet were also red. Something had bitten him, I think. So it was itching him like anything. So he was telling his mother, please, you know, just itch it, itch for me. So the mother was like doing like this for him. Just. So the father happened to see him and chastised the mother. Says, don't do that. Don't itch. You put medicine and it'll be all right. So told the son, don't do that. Don't scratch it. So the child, he's like, kept quiet, and so hidingly he is telling his mother, itch, khujao na, he's telling his mother. So mother said, no, father is looking, he doesn't want me to do that. And then the child is becoming very upset, khujao na, and he's boxing his mother like, khujao, like that. And then the mother, she took the hand of the son, and like, without the father looking, she's like, you know, patting his, blowing at his hand like this. Then I was just thinking that how important a father plays a role in a person's life. That, and in fact, both mother and father, they give such important lessons to the child. You know, the son is trying to be nasty. So the father chastises him in order to teach him a lesson that don't abuse others. Don't use others. I mean, you know, that's what he's doing basically. He's abusing his mother. You know, using his mother. And then the mother teaches that in case you are abused, you should still love others. In case you are a victim of being abused, you love others, you be kind. Mother is teaching unconditional love through her example. And the father is teaching through his, you know, strictness, that how you should behave. You should not be a cause of abuse to others. So just as the parents play a very important role in disciplining the children, in fact, you know, I had heard some time ago an anecdote that how when Adam and Eve were in heaven and things like that, and when God told Adam that don't eat the forbidden apple, but he still ate it. So God felt that, you know, what is this? You're my children and you're not obeying me. So go get married, have your own children and see what it is to have children. When they disobey you, then you'll understand what it is, how I feel when you disobey me. And that is this world. And therefore many times when we have some lectures and talks and we speak about how children should behave themselves, and always parents sitting with their children are looking towards them and telling them, just see, listen and learn some good important lessons. And when we make a point that how parents should also play a role model in the lives of children, then children are looking at their parents and saying, Jesse, you should also hear and learn some good lessons. We all look towards, when we hear something, we feel that it is not for us, it's for somebody else. Long time ago, I gave a Sunday feast lecture and there was one point I made about envy. And one devotee comes to me and he says, Prabhu, what point you made on envy? Too much, Prabhu, too much. I said, really, what point do you like? That point which you spoke about envy, that how we should not be envious. I said, yes. Oh, Prabhu, how much, it's so important, Prabhu, it's so important. I said, oh, really? I wish, then he said, I wish my neighbor would have been there. I wish that neighbor would have been there. He was so envious, like a snake, Prabhu, like a snake. You know. So the thing is that very important is a lesson which Lord Shri Krishna wants to give his disciples, wants to give his devotees, and wants to give Brahma in this case, that how one should be, one should be responsible. And therefore, Krishna is wanting to ensure that Brahma is using his position properly. And I think in one of the examples given by Prabhupada or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gives the story of a beggar who comes to the king. And the beggar, he comes begging. And the king was in a different mood and he wanted to just humble this beggar. He just wanted some amusement, basically. King wanted some amusement. So he asked the beggar, "What do you want?" So he says, "I'm so hungry, give me some food." So the king winked at his assistant and told him, "Go get him some chappan bhog, get him some feast." And he winked at him, and the assistant, he pretends to get a plate filled with foodstuffs, but he had no plate in his hand. He just brings an empty hand and he pretends to keep a plate in front of the beggar. And the beggar is sitting for something to eat. He's hungry and he finds that there's nothing kept in front of him. And the king says, "So there is a chappan bhog in front of you, enjoy yourself." So the beggar felt insulted and he felt, "What is this? I'm..." So then he thought, "All right, fine, I think the king is testing me." So he took it in the right spirit and he went ahead, he went along the joke and he pretended to eat. And he pretended to eat. The king is pretending to give him food, so he thought, "All right, I'll go along with the joke, I pretend to eat." So he's eating. And the king is seeing, he's relishing the prasad. And the king is saying, "Huh? So how is the food? I said, "Wow, what amazing, so good. You put so much of ghee in the chapati. So much ghee, oh." And the king, he is saying, "Acha." And the king is very good. And the king said, "Acha, what else you liked?" "The gulab jamuns are so delicious." And the king said, "Acha." And the king wanted to pull his legs. He said, "But I have not served you gulab jamun." "Yeah, whatever you call it, maybe rasgulla." "Ah, rasgulla, yes, yes, yes. Rasgullas are very tasty. It's amazing, it's very good." And he's like, you know, going along with the joke, and the king is having fun and he's laughing, he's slapping his thighs and he's like laughing. And at the end of it, then the king's heart changed. He was amused, he was satisfied. And then he handsomely rewarded the beggar. He says, "Give him whatever he wants. Give him a feast and reward him whatever he wants. What he wants, give him a good house and everything." So just in that way, the Supreme Lord, in one sense, is wanting to be amused. And he's using Brahma in that act. He's testing him in and out. And at the end of it all, he is going to bless him with his divine darshan. The divine mercy of giving him a darshan which had never been seen before by anybody. So Brahma had come with the pretext of humbling Krishna. Brahma had come to humble Krishna, but we see that Krishna actually humbled him. Something to similar to sometimes in our ashram, we have this situation. We have the confiscation department. We have this confiscation department. For those who don't know that what our ashram is, in our ashram, we have a confiscation department. Confiscate means to apprehend, to take away something. So in case in our ashram there is something which is kept outside our lockers, maybe shaving kits or mosquito nets or maybe chappals or whatever, if they're not kept in the proper place, they get confiscated. They get taken away by, like we have this... vehicles, if they are parked in wrong places, then the towing department comes and they tow the scooters or the cars, you know, tow it and take it. So here Brahma is acting like a confiscation department. He's coming to confiscate, and he confiscated the children. So sometimes in our ashram we have this confiscation department person moving around to see what's lying somewhere outside. And many times, instead of, because what the confiscation department wants to do is to apprehend and then wait for, and wait for the person to realize that it is gone, and then he will realize that it is not there, and then come beseeching that, "Please, Prabhu, my shaving kit is with you. I accept my mistake." And he takes a humble position and saying that, "Prabhu, I made a mistake. I left it outside. So you please give it to me." And then the confiscation department gives 1 or 2 hours of service, supposed to be ideally like that. And then seva, 2-3 ghanta seva, and then you get the thing back. But generally what happens is that when the confiscation department, say, maybe confiscates a shaving kit or something like that in the night, and the person doesn't even realize that his shaving kit is taken away, and the confiscation department in charge is waiting the next day in the morning when he has to wake up and take a bath, and he's seeing that this person, he realizes that his shaving kit is not there, then he's in trouble, so he's waiting for that. And the confiscation department in charge is surprised to find that this person is walking with a shaving kit. They say, what is happening? Because naturally you expect, and in the same case of Brahma, he's confiscated the people and he's thinking, the children are still there, and the confiscation. See, all the brahmacharis and devotees in the living in the temple are following in the footsteps of Krishna, because Krishna bhaktas manifesting shaving kits and slippers and mosquito nets and bed sheets. So, because devotees keep spares, they have spare mosquito nets and spare bed sheets and spare pillows and spare shaving kits. And the confiscation department in charge is watching to see, what is this? I mean, whose shaving kit did I confiscate? Was it his or somebody else's? And he goes to see, and he sees that his name is also written on that, and then he has another one, and finally, instead of the person who has to become humble, whose shaving kit has been confiscated, the confiscation department in charge becomes humble, because his department gets so filled with all these shaving kits that he has to put a notice board that, please, devotees, come and take these things. Take it back. I have no space in our confiscated department. Take it back. So Brahma is just like that. He's confiscated the boys, and he's finding that Krishna is just not at all affected. And so he's now wondering, because that is what Brahma is expecting. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying that when he confiscated the people, the boys and the calves, he was expecting that the reaction that Krishna would, if he is a mystic, and he is certainly a mystic, Brahma knew that he was a mystic, he was a powerful person, but he did not know he was Supreme Lord. But so the reaction which he was expecting of Krishna was, Krishna will identify where the boys are kept and he will go and locate it himself. Or he would know that Brahma has confiscated, and he would come to Brahma and request that, please give back the calves and the cows. That was the reaction which Brahma was expecting of Krishna. But when he sees that he has expanded, then he becomes terribly humbled. He becomes very much affected. So the very important thing is that the Lord played a very important part in humbling Brahma. Being the Guru always ensures that the disciple is humble enough to receive the instructions and follow the prescribed method of devotional service. So naturally, Brahma is the Acharya. Brahma is the original Acharya of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So naturally, we may laugh and we may do so many things, but the thing is that it is not to say that Brahma is at fault, because Brahma, it has not made a mistake in that sense. We have to see it in a way that it is Krishna's potency. Right? Because ultimately, who can understand Krishna? Krishna himself says, Name vidu suraganaha prabhavam namaharishaya aham adiri devan maharishinam sarvashaha, that nobody can understand me factually. Not even Brahma, not even Shiva. What to speak of Brahma and Shiva, even Balaram could not understand who Krishna was. In fact, at the end of that 1 year period, gradually the yoga maya curtain, the illusion was turned down a bit, and that time Balaram started realizing there's something fishy going on. that how come the Brajbasis are loving their own children more than Krishna, because generally it was observed that the Brajbasis loved Krishna more than their own children, but we have seen that since so many months. So he never realized it till the end of that year when Krishna turned down the Yoga Maya a little bit and Balaram started realizing, and then he came to Krishna. And he asked this question, that what is this? Why did you expand yourself? I can see that they are all your expansions. Why did you do that? And then Krishna revealed the truth. So it is not Brahma's fault in that sense that he was affected by the... He made a mistake. We should not think that Balaram made a mistake. I'm sorry, Brahma made a mistake. Brahma cannot make a mistake. Brahma never makes a mistake. Because he is Acharya. न भारति मेंग मृषोपलक्षते न वै क्वचन मे मनसो मृषागति न मे ऋषिकानि पथंत सत्पते जन्मे हृदौत कंठ्यवता धृतो हरि. Brahma tells Narada that I am whatever I speak, there is no fault in what I speak. न भारति मेंग मृषोपलक्षते न वै क्वचन मे मनसो मृषागति, that my mind never dwells in illusion. Name Rishikani Patanta Satpade, my senses never engage in sense gratification. Yanme Ridaut Kantyavata Dhrito Harihi. Since I have held on tightly to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, everything what I have spoken, everything that I have thought of, everything that I have done is perfect. Why? Because I am in connection with the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. So Brahma is an Acharya, he teaches by his example. It's not made a mistake. It is not a mistake. And so much, even for Lord Shiva, when he fell down, when Mohini Murti appeared and he fell down, he went into illusion. It is not that Shiva made a mistake. It is the Lord's deluding potency. So that is the way. That as long as, and similarly also all the people of this world, as long as they are connected to Krishna, if a person gets connected to the process, then he also becomes perfect, like Brahma. Like Brahma. Like a magnet, you know, you may have a magnet and you may take an iron nail or an iron piece and you stick it to the magnet, and then you take another iron filing and you stick it to the original piece of iron, and you will see that it also behaves like an iron, like a magnet. So all the iron filings in contact with the magnet starts behaving like a magnet, potentially. But as soon as the iron is removed from the contact of the magnet, it loses its power. So Brahma is saying that as long as I'm connected with Bhagavan, and essentially he never forgets Bhagavan. He never forgot, he was never un-Krishna conscious. But he, for the time being, by the deluding potency of Krishna, he actually, for a moment, it was just for a moment that he forgot who Krishna was. So like that. So therefore, when in Mayapur, Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj, he was asking Srila Prabhupada that what if the spiritual master makes a mistake? And Prabhupada gave a very practical answer. He says that the spiritual master is not God. Spiritual master is a preacher. His duty is to preach to the best of his capacity. He is a guru. So to expect that a guru never makes a mistake, that is also being impractical. That is a mundane vision. Prabhupada said, to see faults in the guru is a mundane vision. You should not do that. Guru is playing the role of a devotee. He is playing the role of a preacher. And his duty is to engage his disciples in the service of Mahaprabhu, in the service of the Lord. That is his. But he never fails in his service to God. He never fails in his surrender to God. In that he never makes a mistake. He never makes a mistake of choosing Maya to Krishna. When he's giving a talk, maybe he may make a mistake. He may misspell something, or when he's writing a letter or something. That is not something which has to be considered very important. But his surrender to Krishna, he never mistakes in that. So here we can see that Brahma has been humbled by Krishna. And Acharya explains, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, how was he humbled? An example is given just like a glowworm. In the night, the glowworm appears very brilliant, very significant. But as soon as the sun appears in the sky, the glowworm becomes inconspicuous. Example is given of snow. When it snows, in India we have not seen it snow. But we have seen when I was in Kedarnath, when I was Badrinath Kedarnath, it was snowing there. And we could see that when it snows, it becomes very dark. Whole thing becomes very dark, very gloomy. But in the night time, if it snows, the snow has no effect, because the darkness of night is far more powerful than the snow. So the example is given, Brahma's illusion was like snow as compared to the darkness of the night. Krishna's Maya potency is compared to the night, and Brahma's illusory potency is compared to snow. It's insignificant. Snowing may bring about darkness, but it is not so significant as compared to the night, and therefore Brahma's illusion, his magical tricks, was no match for Krishna's magic. And he was thoroughly, in that sense, humbled. And so the spiritual master's duty is to ensure that the disciple is humble. Because the ego is the greatest barrier between the soul and God. It is the greatest barrier. As the South Indian Acharyas, they say, ego means, comes from three words. Edging God out. So we edge God out. We make a barrier between us and God. What is ego? Ego means a false identification with about who we are. What is ego? Ego means identification with this body. Oh, I am this body. And I am so great. Oh, I am a man. I am a woman. Or I am an educated, I am an engineer. I am a doctor, I am PhD, I am this and that. But these are all false designations. Today, people put a lot of their designations after the name, you know, BE and a doctor or MD or MBBS and the longer FCHS and FRC and, you know, long tags after the names. But according to the Shastra, the more the tags after your name, the greater the illusion, the greater the false ego, greater the misidentification about what we are. Because our true identity, the Shastra explains very well, is that Naham vipro nacha narapati navaishwana shudro naham varani nacha grahapati no vanasto yatirva kintu prodhyan nikhila paramananda premamritabdher gopihi bharatuhu padakamalayor das 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 anudas. So, if at all we want to put a lot of labels and tags after our name, it should be Das, 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 Anudas. That is our actual position. Shastra has explained as this is our true identity. False ego means what? Identifying with this body. Real ego means identifying with the soul. What is the duty of the soul? Soul has two duties, to love and to serve. So what is the soul going to love? Soul is eternal. He has somebody eternal to love, and that is God. How does he serve? By love, by through his. And therefore, that the body brings about these designations. Right from childhood, this brainwashing is going on. Small child is there, goes to college or school, and he comes back with his, his marks, and he's failed in one or two exams, and the mother says, "You fool. You don't have brains, you're not studying." And the child brings about a conception upon himself that, oh, I am such a fool, I can't study. Or sometimes the child comes home with a nice certificate, with a nice report card, and he's like, stop the class. And mother says, oh, you're so brilliant, my son is so brilliant. And then he starts thinking, I'm so brilliant. Somewhere else he goes and people say, oh, you are such a good actor. Oh, you do such good dramas. Oh, you are such a wonderful singer. Oh, you are. And we start developing conceptions about ourselves based on what people are telling us. Who we really are is based on what others are telling us. And suppose we have a conception about ourselves. Oh, I am such a great preacher. And someone says, what you're preaching is bogus. Say, what is this? Oh. And then we are affected. Because our conception of who we are is based on the title people have given us. And we are affected. We are affected by the criticisms. And also we are affected by the praises. You say, oh, you are so wonderful. So great. When you sing Prabhu ecstasy, I feel so much ecstasy. I start thinking, really, I'm so wonderful. Oh. oh, I'm so good, I'm so that. But the thing is they're all illusions, and all these things will change. And therefore, how we understand who we are is not on the basis of what people tell us, but on the basis of reality. What is the truth? What is the reality? Is there something like truth? There has to be a truth. And therefore, Prabhupada says, and the Shastra says, the truth is that we are Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Das Anudas. And therefore, a devotee is Tulya Ninda Stutir Moni Santustayena Tena Chit Aniketa Sthiramati Buddhiman Bhaktiman Me Priyonara. That my devotee considers praise, criticisms to be on an equal level. Why? Because of this. Because he has identified with his position of being the servant of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, here, Brahma, we can see, Krishna is trying to bring about this consciousness that beyond all these positions that one may have, even though we may have a position as high as Brahma, we may be in a position of control. So many people coming to us and begging for instructions, what we should be doing. And Brahma has all the 33 crore gods come up to him to ask him what they should be doing. So naturally, being in so much of control, it may go up to the head. And Krishna is telling that never forget that if you are doing a service, you must be doing it with the consciousness, with the understanding that you are the servant. Das, 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 anudas. You are serving all those people who are coming to you for instructions in my service. You are serving them by serving me. Or you are serving me by serving them. And that consciousness is what Krishna wants to bring about in his disciple, devotee, Brahma. You know, there is a highest position in this material world of being in the position of Brahma. So, because if we want to understand God, if you want to understand Krishna, the way Krishna is, not just God, but actually Krishna, in Vrindavan, the way he is in Vrindavan. Because Brahma wanted to understand who is this boy, so also we are all trying to understand who is Krishna. We want to understand him. And therefore, Krishna is telling that if you want to understand me as I am in Vrindavan, then you cannot have an ego of being in a very high position, of being a manager or a damager or producer, director. All these are nothing. These positions really don't matter much. Because he's the biggest manager. And once Srila Prabhupada was visiting one of his temples, and he was giving a talk, and all the disciples were sitting, and the president of the temple, he came a little late. So he just jumped above, you know, he just brought, he jumped ahead of the devotees and came right in front of Prabhupada and took a seat right in front and was sitting like this. And Prabhupada, then some devotee came and started introducing all the devotees, and he was the temple president of this center. And Prabhupada didn't even look at him and did not even give him any importance. And the president was thinking that at least I am the president, I will be given some special recognition by Prabhupada. But Prabhupada, he never looked at him or never gave him any importance, because Prabhupada wanted to make a point that it is not the position which is important. Krishna does not see the position. Krishna sees actually your heart, your attitude. Because in this world, everybody is trying to be the controller. It's nothing surprising if one is in a high position of being the president or even in the position of Brahma, because everybody wants to control others. In this world, it's the nature. Everybody wants to control others. Everybody wants to tell others what you should be doing, but they don't want to hear what they should be doing. Don't tell me. Who are you to tell me? I will tell you. You listen what I am telling you. That is the nature. That is a general psychology. Somebody came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I am God. So Prabhupada said, so what? Everybody thinks like that. Everybody thinks they are God. Man takes a dog for a walk. Dog is also thinking, I'm taking this master for a walk. Preacher is sitting to give a talk, thinking, I'm inspiring these people. And the people who are listening may also think that because we are sitting so attentively hearing, we are inspiring the speaker to give a good talk. Everybody is thinking they are the controller. Who is the controller? once in a debate, one lady, she came to Prabhupada and she said, Prabhupada, is it true that you Hare Krishnas think women to be inferior to men? Is it true, Prabhupada, that women have to obey their husbands, the men? Is it true? And Prabhupada, everybody looked at Prabhupada, what is he going to say? And Prabhupada said, it doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, everybody has to listen to Krishna. That's what it is. You cannot say women should listen to husband and husband should should just sit there and enjoy. No, but everybody is listening. Everybody is controlled by Krishna, and that is the reality. And as long as this conception is not, there is going to be problems. Like somebody was asking, you know, how do you maintain so much of peace in your house? One man, and that man was saying, well, I have divided the issues, the management of my house into two departments. One are the petty issues and one are the major issues. And the petty issues, I give it to my wife. She makes the decisions. I don't interfere with that. And the major issues, I take it in my department and I just manage it. So what is it? And somebody said that, okay, what are the decisions you have left to your wife? And she said, decisions like, you know, which refrigerator we should purchase, which microwave oven we should purchase, which car we should purchase, whether we should relocate our house, where we should invest and things like that. So these petty issues, how is it? And so what are the major issues then? Major issues like, you know, whether like India or America should attack Iran. Or whether Jayasurya should participate in or should retire from cricket. So these are the major issues which I make my decisions. And naturally she doesn't interfere with my decisions. I don't interfere. So there's peace. So everybody is in that controllership. Everybody thinks they are controlling, but actually who is controlling is a big, and Krishna is amused by seeing that how people of this world think they are the controllers. We are not the controllers, actually. Krishna is the controller. And that is a very important message which is given in this pastime, that if we can simply, and obviously Brahma learns that lesson, and we see that how Brahma actually prays that give me a position, give me a humble position. I want to be your devotee. I want the dust of your devotees on my head. And in Barsana, we see in Barsana, there are those four peaks. They are considered to be the heads of Brahma. Brahma incarnated in the form of mountain to get the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotees of Sri Krishna on his head. And we can see that he prayed to be having a lowly position. And he wanted retirement from his managerial position. And therefore he took a break from his management and he went on a retreat. And he was as Haridas, he came to Jagannath Puri on retreat and he was chanting 192 rounds every day, Brahma Haridas. And he was serving Krishna like that. So Brahma is a wonderful devotee and he has learned and he has taught us so many things from this Leelas of Brahma Vimohan Leela. And Mahaprabhu also says the same thing, that if we have to chant, we have to make progress in Krishna consciousness, we have to become humble. We have to be humble and chant Hare Krishna. I have one aunt, recently she started taking interest in spiritual life. So I asked her, so where are you going, which guru you are going and things like that. She's in Bangalore. So she gave some name of some preacher and I just looked up the internet to find out something details about the preacher and I realized he was a Mayavadi and things like that. So then I called her up and said that why are you going to such sadhus and gurus and things like that. I mean, they're not even bona fide. Come to ISKCON and I'm here. I'll give you some directions how you should go about your spiritual life. I'm your own family member, you know. I can give you. So whatever I've learned, I can share it with you. Why are you going here and there? So no, you ISKCON people, you know, whenever I've gone to ISKCON, I don't know, they speak so rudely. I was shocked. I said, why are you saying like that? So I met some ISKCON devotee distributing some books and I asked them, that why are you, how did you come to ISKCON? And that person told me, what have you got to do? Why do you care? Why should I tell you? So some such kind of rude replies we got, and I realized some people are very rude. And I was amazed because she was disappointed, and she went somewhere else for getting spiritual knowledge. So then what is the point? I mean, if ISKCON is known for being having educated people, but then if one becomes proud of their position and one is not approachable by people in general to receive the message of Krishna consciousness, then what is the point? It's all lost. And therefore, if we have to really inspire people in Krishna consciousness, then one has to present oneself in a way by which people feel that ISKCON devotees are approachable and they can get guidance in their spiritual life. So that is the message. Trinadabhi sunichena taro ribah sahishnuna amani namane dena kirtaniya sadaha. So that is the process of realizing Krishna, is to humbly chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare Gaur.